Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 34 of the Self-Help Podcast. It's everyone's favourite self-help show. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm very good. It's my favourite show. Especially when you start with podcast and then we have to do it again.
Yeah, so. Take two. What are we trying to do here, Sean? We're trying to give people a better understanding of themselves.
And us and the world.
And try and make sense of all this craziness, hey?
Yeah, and crazy it is.
I'm not sure if it's possible, technically, but it's fun discussing it, at least, isn't it?
Yeah. It's crazy, though.
It is. And this week we're talking about an issue that's close to our hearts. Because our company, you might not know it, is called liveinthepresent.co.uk. And we're talking about what's stopping you from living in the now, aren't we, Sean?
Yeah. And that's in response to a request, isn't it, that we do that?
It is, yeah. We had a cool email from a subscriber called Mike, who I'll quote more of his email later on, but it was triggered by his email. So anyone out there who wants to talk about something in particular, drop us an email and we'll do our best to incorporate it.
Yeah, I need to put a bit of an apology in there, really.
Uh-oh.
Is that I'm hacking through my inbox, and if you haven't heard from me in reply since before Christmas, I apologise, but I am catching up on everything. It's just life has just been so amazingly busy.
You're getting there, aren't you?
So, yeah, I'm working through my inbox, but I'm got back into the middle of December at the moment, going backwards.
A heartfelt apology from Sean Orford.
Yeah.
That's a first.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be a last, isn't it?
I just want to mention another cool little thing. We've had a review on iTunes, which we always love to see. I hadn't had any in a few weeks, actually, so thank you. And it's from our good friend, Nikki Cross.
Oh, I know. Hi, Nikki. Yeah.
Lots of little nuggets of handy pieces of advice. Sean and Ed's podcasts are really helpful. They seem to read my mind, as they normally cover the topic I'm most in need of each week.
That's because we are reading your mind.
We are. Little did you know, Nikki.
We've got a crystal bowl in the middle of the table here.
thanks for taking the time to do that, Nikki. We love it. And if anyone else wants to leave us a review on iTunes, good, bad, indifferent feedback, let us know and we'll read it out and say hello.
So what have you been up to then?
I'm busy, but everyone's busy, so I won't go on about that too much. But we had our first CART session at the weekend of the year. Bit of winter testing.
Yeah.
Really busy down there. It's obviously quite cold here at the moment. So I got down at the track thinking it might be quite quiet, but there was just rammed full of vans and people.
I liked it when you were describing it, and the highlight of the whole thing was that the cart didn't break, which I thought was amazing.
We actually put it back in our car at the end of the day. It was still working. We didn't leave because it'd broken.
Yeah.
We left because the daylight was running out.
Yeah.
Which we've been doing it for nearly a year now. We've had this little machine.
So you're getting pretty hot now.
We're getting pretty good, and we had a couple of guys park up next to us at the track, and it was their first time there. This guy just bought a new second-hand go-kart, his first go in it, and I arrived just as he had his first go in it, and he was caked in mud, because it was a bit faster than he was expecting, and he put it in the wall and smashed through a puddle, and so we were dishing out advice, saying you should do this, you should do that.
So you're now a karting guru, isn't
it? Indeed. I know all about tyre pressures and oil levels in fuel and all that.
There you go.
I'm your man.
Brilliant.
What about you? You had a good week?
Good. Two things. One, we went to see the Mandela film.
Cool.
Long Walk.
Some good films out at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah. Very profound.
It's Oscar season.
And both of us came out and we were a bit stunned and shell-shocked and needed to go and just kind of have a coffee and catch up with it, really. But both of us came out feeling a kind of embarrassment about being white, or I suppose a bit embarrassment about being associated with all those governments that did all those things.
Yeah.
Back along. You know, the sins of the fathers are visited on the children, and we're all a part of that.
Yeah.
You know, but what awful things that people do to each other. Terrible.
Yeah, I need to see that. I think that there's another big movie out, 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah.
Which is going to be up there for all the Oscars and what have you. And
that's
probably another one that doesn't make you feel too great about our pedigree.
But it's true, though, isn't it? It's something that, in a way, it's a bit like the death camps in Germany and Poland, and the soldiers needing to go there and do essays, assignments on them. Yeah. People need to not allow the negative bits of history to repeat themselves.
Yeah.
That's a very kind of juxtaposition issue that we need to use today in our topic about living in the present.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, it's never too late to deal with these things. It's amazing how long the effects of these things can last. It's not surprising.
Yeah.
But they're still, people are still haunted by these things.
Sure, sure. One of the other things I need to say is that I had an email.
Oh, just one.
I only get one email.
And you haven't replied yet.
No, I've replied to this one. And it was about me using the phrase "from my point of view" or "from that point of view" or "from their point of view." And the question was, why do you do that? Because you'd raised it, hadn't you?
Well, it's something else. What is it that I hear you say all the time? Oh, yeah, you say, "in the sense that."
In the sense that, okay.
Yeah.
And what I was trying to explain was that, say there was an accident and there was a whole gang of us that witnessed it, all our descriptions would be different because all of us would see it from our point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So each person's point of view is real, but it's only partial to the whole because it doesn't include what everybody experienced. Yeah. So that I'm very aware of that when I'm working with people, and when we're talking here on air, is that the people that listen to this will listen to it from different points of view.
Yeah.
So that I suppose what I'm identifying, if I say from that point of view, or in the sense that, or from my point of view, is what I'm identifying is that A, I may not be right because it's only from my point of view, or it's from your point of view, but also that I may be right, but just partially right. There may be a bigger whole that I don't see. So I thought about it a lot, and I was listening back to the podcasts. And I hadn't realised how many times I say these things, but I do. but it feels like it's a very relevant thing to not stop doing. Because it's that issue about anything that I say or you say isn't some absolute bit of wonder and wisdom. It's something which is seen from the point of view of the person that's either saying it or the person
that's hearing it. It's open for debate, isn't it? We're all learning little by little. It's like a little mini disclaimer at the start of every sentence you say. Yeah.
So from my point of view, I think we should all say things from our own point of view. But I could be wrong.
I agree. Yeah, I could be wrong as well. I'm glad you said that, Sean. And did you feel happy having got that off your chest?
Yes. I feel like I've been to confession now.
Right, should we move on to our topic of the week?
Yeah.
All right, what's stopping you from living in the present or living in the now? Now, we have discussed living in the present in a previous episode, I'm not sure. It's probably way back when, in one of the early ones.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because it's what we try and promote and teach on our website and
everything,
obviously through the work that we do.
Yeah.
I just want to, if I can, go back to the email we had from our friend Mike, who is a regular listener. And he sent this email mid-December. I won't quote it all, but it was quite heartfelt and it really got us thinking here. So he said, "I would love for you to cover in your podcast such things as why don't people live in the present? What's stopping people from it? Are there people who are trying to keep everyone in the dark, i.e. the government? That's interesting, through fear and large-scale change. And what would happen in the world if everyone did stop being ruled by their minds in the future and started loving and enjoying the simple things in life?" Fascinating.
Yeah. I think that the issue of fear that comes up there is a classic for me, that virtually everybody that I work with, including myself, has limitations of expression, development, self-fulfillment that are motivated by fear, holding things back.
Yeah.
And that fear may not be an out-and-out, scary, traumatic woo. It might be a drip-fed anxiety. So the idea that culturally or from a family point of view, am I allowed to do a certain thing and to still stay within in the rules of the group, you know, from society, culture, religion, whatever. So that people tend to not do what they want to do in the moment because of their fears of being that thing.
Yeah, well, interestingly, this is something I've talked about in past episodes quite recently, actually, how we are... were held back by other people's thoughts, and the fact that there's a kind of a stigma attached to self-help, and Mike mentioned that in his email, the fact that we're not always open to change and moving ourselves forward because of what people that we live with or that we hang around with might think of us for daring to suggest that we should all start meditating or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's through the fear of what other people might think.
It comes back always to right now you and I are sat here by microphone and we're talking, we're safe and we're secure. Now, everybody that's listening to this, I would guess 100%, but it's going to be very close to 100%, that the people that are listening to this right now, wherever they are completely safe and completely secure.
Yep.
There is nothing hurting them or harming them. It may be that outside the door there's a big monster or a ravenous beast, but actually whilst they're here listening to this podcast, they're there.
Mm. And maybe there's some cool, maybe there's like a frontline GI in like Afghanistan and he's got his iPod on and he's like staring down the barrel of his gun.
And listening to this.
Listen to this.
But the thing is that in that moment, why he's got the gun in his hand and he's staring down the barrel of his gun, he is, in his moment, he's safe, he's secure.
The gun helps, yeah. Yeah.
But it's that thing, is that at any one point.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, when you're hanging off the side of a mountain, Mont Blanc, by your fingernails, whatever, you know, as long as your fingernails are in, you're actually safe. The anxiety comes from the fear of what happens next, not what's happening now.
Okay.
Yeah.
As I'm falling 1,000 foot.
But I guess, yeah, if you're falling 1,000 feet, you could either enjoy the drop and live in the presence of the drop. It's only when you hit the ground. And if you were living in the presence of hitting the ground, I suppose you'd be that highly tuned, you wouldn't even feel it. But but if all the way down you're screaming, going, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, you've lost the point of the moment.
Mm-hmm. The endless pursuit of money and doing jobs that not all of us enjoy can have a detrimental impact on our ability to live in the present, can't it?
Yeah. You shot a quote at me today, Buckminster Fuller.
Yeah, this old fella from the 60s, is he? I don't know too much about this guy.
He died in 83, but he must have been born probably about 1900, I would think.
Right.
Somewhere like
that. Yeah, I just saw this quote this morning. Someone put it on Twitter, a picture of it. I'll put it in the show notes, of course. But it's quite a lengthy quote, but I'll kind of paraphrase. We must do away with the absolutely specious notion that everybody has to earn a living. The youth of today are absolutely right in recognising this nonsense of earning a living. This was obviously in the 60s, but I think it applies now still.
Yeah.
We keep inventing jobs because of this false idea that everybody has to be employed at some kind of drudgery because, according to Malthusian Darwinian theory, he must justify his right to exist. So we have inspectors of inspectors and people making instruments for inspectors to inspect inspectors. The true business of people should be to go back to school and think about whatever it was that they were thinking about before somebody came along and told them that they had to earn a living.
Yeah.
I like that. That's cool.
And that's one of my things with education, is that education isn't about fulfilling the person. It isn't about what is it that this person needs individually or about how can you get a rounded person. Mm. It's about creating the next workforce.
Yeah.
And in that sense, we were talking on earlier about the idea of conspiracy theories and were we actually living in a real present or were we living in other people's versions of the world? I think that if you have the space to discover who you are, which is what education should be about, then you fulfil yourself by doing the things with your life that make you feel good.
Yeah. And that you know, there are certain jobs maybe that people might think, oh, well, how boring, how drudge. And like, let's say, for example, accountancy, which is kind of a classic kind of, oh, what a dull job. But I mean,
people love it.
People love it, and I had quite a good head for numbers as a kid. And I used to like playing around with. I used to create little equations because I used to quite like maths.
Yep.
I'm not that great at it. I was okay, but people can love numbers, can't they?
Yeah.
And in that sense, then being an accountant is perfect for living in the now.
Did I have a real experience of that? There was a group of us living in a community. Who created what was seen at the time as the first community company. You can actually go on Wikipedia and look at the community company.
I will.
Set up.
This is one of your made-up facts.
You can go and make it up. So it was a company called Grail. And we had we developed a whole load of ways of working, as in people did things that fulfilled them. And you'd think that people wouldn't want to do the menial task, but actually there were people that were more than happy doing the cleaning and doing all the kind of domestic tasks. And there were some people that wanted to, you know, run programs and do all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But all the jobs got done. But we worked on certain principles, like an hour of your time was worth an hour of my time. So that if you were a bog cleaner and I was a brain surgeon, then the hour of time, if we applied our consciousness to the task, had the same value.
Yeah.
Yeah, which we don't do in our society, do we? We separate out and we say, this person can be on a minimum wage and this person can earn a fortune.
Mm.
As opposed to acknowledging that we're all involved in this process of life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And the second thing was that people took out according to their needs, in the sense that... the guy that is, or the lady that is the bog cleaner, might have six kids to support, and the person who's the brain surgeon maybe has no kids to support. So that the needs for taking out were greater for the bog cleaner than for the brain surgeon.
Yeah.
And we lived the whole system. We called it the personnel system. And we lived the whole system like that. And it was a very successful enterprise.
Interesting.
And like I say, you can look up community company on Wikipedia.
And just, it's called Grail.
Grail was the company.
As in the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
Mm.
Limited, yeah. And when it moved to the States, it was incorporated.
Ooh.
Yeah. But the whole concept about, are we being who we wish to be and living the life that we want to live? Because if we're not, that's when we cease to live in the present, because we're either wandering forward, thinking about things that we could, should, or must do, or we're focusing backwards on things that we had to do and we hated, which is, and that's what we look at in terms of the past attachments of depression and the future attachments of anxiety,
mm-hmm.
rather than actually living where we are, doing what we want to do.
Yeah.
So I guess that everybody that's listening to this, the question is, are you doing what you want to do? And there's a test to tell that, because some people say, I don't know, I'm not sure, I don't know. And the test is, it was done on loads and loads of self-development programs back in the 70s, 80s, that kind of time. Probably still done now.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of a program, what would happen is that you would be given a virtual amount of money. So it could be $1 million or $10 million, whatever it was. And the issue was, okay, what would you do if you've got this check and you can go and spend it? What would you do? And people work out all kinds of projects that they would do. If they had this money, they'd do all these fancy things. You know, I'd stop this and I'd leave here and I'd go there and I'd get that. And the punchline of the exercise is this. Is that because money is just simply energy that's encapsulated in coins or notes or figures or whatever,
yep.
That if the answer to the question is anything other than I would do what I'm doing now, but I would do it more, quicker, faster, bigger, whatever, but I'd actually be doing what I'm doing now, you're not living in your present and you're not living the life that you should be living for your fulfillment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is that the money, all the money is a magnifier.
Mm-hmm.
So that if anybody that's listening to this, in answer to the question, has got a list of things that are other than what they're doing now, then the answer would be, okay, now's the time to change your life and start doing the things that you want to do now. And it may mean that there's a transition period. It may take you several years to get from where you are to where you should be, or you,
yep.
would, you need to be for you.
But it's worth the journey, eh?
Yeah, yeah. So if you, Edward, if I gave you a cheque now for £10 million, there you are.
Oh,
thank you.
Is it good? Are you good for this?
I'm good for this, yeah. It won't bounce, yeah. What are you going to do with it?
Oh, blimey, Sean, blimey. First of all, bank it, make sure it cleared successfully.
Good trust issue there,
yeah. Wait the 3 or 5 days, however long. What are banks doing while that money is clearing? What are they doing?
Making interest on it.
Yeah, the swines. Look. Yeah, would it carry on what I'm doing currently with my design stuff? Maybe not. I'd definitely still do the podcast. This is really... I'd keep that up.
Yeah.
Although we might have to do it remotely, because I might be...
You might be somewhere hot.
I might be somewhere a bit warmer and a bit more... Well, it's kind of grey outside today, but the view's usually all right out that window. But I'd be doing something different, probably.
Got any ideas what it would be?
No, I was talking before we came on about my need to... I never did the whole travelling thing after uni or before uni.
And yeah.
I haven't really seen the world. So I did get... I really getting quite an urge to go and see the world now. I'd be off. I'd probably start in California.
Yep.
Getting involved in some tech work over there, some design stuff.
Yeah. But does that mean, though, that accepting the fact that you have a wife and a child and family and that kind of stuff,
yep,
and that any when you have that kind of group karma of being in a relationship, that it has to be a collective movement? Do you think there could be a time when you would resettle in...
Yeah, I love living in where we live in the northwest here, and, you know, loads of pals. But I like the idea of kind of going away for a few months and then coming back for a few months.
Yeah.
And I can do that with my work, because I can work anywhere, my laptop there, that's my office.
Yep.
And I'm getting systems in place for that, you know, little by little I'm working towards it. It was always kind of a 10-year plan for me, not that there's been that structured a plan, but I quit my job in 2008. And it was always, I had my mind early on then, because I actually started working with you again almost immediately after I quit my job.
Yes, yeah,
strangely.
Yeah.
You got in touch, and it was always kind of, right, 10 years from now,
yeah,
I'm going to be financially free.
Yeah.
And all that.
Yeah. If I had limitless resource, my life wouldn't change substantially. There'd be a time adjustment, and I would be writing more than doing some of the things that I do. But it would be essentially what it is. And like you, I can work from anywhere. And because I see so many people all over the world now on Skype and FaceTime,
yeah,
and I do see them from car parks sometimes. I'm between Chester and Liverpool or somewhere, and I pull into a car park and go and visit Honolulu or somewhere.
Do you know all the good spots for good mobile signal then?
Yeah. That's true, though. Yeah. My life is very much how I would want it to be. Mm-hmm. There aren't a lot of changes that would happen to it.
You've been working on it a while. We won't reveal your age.
Yeah, well, being 27 is always embarrassing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good in that sense. But
yeah, man, you see people, you know, 60, 70, beyond, and you can tell that they're not where they want to be, or their life hasn't ended up how it should have for them. And
yeah. But I see loads of people in their 30s and 40s who are just so unhappy where they are. And so much not doing or being what they want to be or where they want to be.
Yeah, and the point is to get back to a positive note on even the really old chaps who might be listening thinking, oh, I've wasted my life. It's never too late, is it, to turn it around? And
never, ever. And I go back to that woman a few months ago, 82, on TV. She just finished a PhD.
Yes.
And she hadn't finished a PhD and she was now going to go and die. She'd finished a PhD and she was going off to do some work. Yeah, so I think that in that sense, age is in your head, and it's never too late. You know, when people say that's it, I've missed it.
Yeah,
but I do see people in their 40s who are feeling like they're old, and I think, come on, get yourself together.
Yeah,
a lot of life to live out here. You know,
there's a lot of busyness in the world. We're probably as guilty of this as many. Maybe not guilty is not the right word, but people are busy, aren't they? And we don't. The sense I get is that people don't have the time to just stop and think and take a deep breath. And
I think sometimes that's what busyness is. Busyness is an alternative to actually sorting ourselves out. And very often, I mean, people talk about work hard, play hard, but quite often people will be busy all day long, and then weekends they'll go and get blasted. They're never in a position where they're actually sitting down and reviewing what's going on in their life.
Yep.
So that the work becomes as much an anaesthetic as the stimulants or whatever it is that they're into.
Blimey. Yeah, that's interesting. I was having a good chat with my wife and my parents, I think, actually, as well, about... Because we're going to be in that position where Will's a bit older and he's going to be at school and he's going to be going to all these clubs after school and all that. And you see... My wife's a teacher, so she sees the parents that have a few kids and they're just running around every night, just dropping the kids off at various different clubs here, there and everywhere.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be in that position, unless that's what Will wants. I don't know, it doesn't seem like much of an existence to just to do all this, have something booked in for every single night of the week, you know.
But one of the things has to be in that, and this is a living in the present statement, is that because parents see the world as being unsafe, they have to transport their children everywhere. Where a generation ago, kids would walk, you know.
I saw a diagram about that recently. It was a map of Sheffield and it was showing it spoke to an 80-year-old chap and mapped out how far he was allowed to travel.
Yep.
And he had this huge map, 6-7 miles from home is as far as he was allowed to go on his bike. And then it had the parent, or the son of that guy, and it was a smaller one. And then it had the son of that guy, so obviously like 10-12 year old now. Yeah. Tiny little speck, like maybe a block around the house they're allowed to travel without getting told off.
But what we do then is not only do we limit people's ability to develop, we limit the parents' ability to express themselves because they now become taxi drivers.
Yep.
And we also increase the levels of anxiety and fear because we teach people that the world's an unsafe place to be in.
And it's not, because we did an episode about, is the world a safe place?
Yeah, yeah.
We discovered that it is.
But it is, isn't it? And it's a case of a group of kids walk to school together. They look after each other of quite young ages. Yeah, group of kids go to a club together and they walk together, look after each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where's this need that we have to be a taxi driver? It's like escorting, like a security service, isn't it?
We're inhibiting exploration as well, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's damaging, that is, for...
Yeah, completely.
Civilization as we know it.
Yeah, it limits people hugely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it limits their ability to travel... to go into situations that could be stimulating rather than threatening.
Yeah, that's it. Tomorrow, Will is walking to nursery.
Yeah, sorry. Off you go, Will.
Little 2-year-old.
Take your sandwich.
He's got a rucksack. He's just got a motorway junction to cross.
That's okay.
He'll be fine.
So, yeah. What's the He'll worst run in between the cars. Yeah. Right? He'll be okay.
Dear me. There's an article as well that I was discussing with my family to do with all this stuff about how kids, and it applies to adults as well, we don't allow ourselves to be bored anymore. Like, boredom is seen as a curse, and if you're just sitting there with nothing to do, the telly's not on or your phone's not ringing, then you're like, oh my gosh, I should be doing something. Whereas there's a lot, you can find out a lot about yourself in that time, can't you? That's where meditation comes in, I guess.
Yeah, the whole mindfulness thing, to actually be where you are. One of the comments that was raised in the email that you were talking about earlier on was the idea that if everybody lived in the present, lived in the moment, that people like Steve Jobs wouldn't have invented the iPhone 5 or the iPad or whatever. And I don't think that's right, because there's an assumption that when we start talking about people living in the now, living in the present, that we all grow hair and become hippies and have smelly armpits and wander around and don't do anything. And that's not the case.
Eat lentils and stuff.
Yeah. It's not like that, is it? When Steve Jobs, in the process of fulfilling himself and living in his now, was inventing and creating and being. And maybe his issues were about... somewhere along the line, people actually taught him, either directly or indirectly, that it's okay to live and think outside the box, which is why he became an inventor, rather than us desperately trying to limit our children's activities and thinking.
Yeah.
And that's my beef with the education thing, is that it stops you thinking.
Yep.
It doesn't allow you to be a creative thinker. You have to think certain things to tick boxes on assessment forms.
Mm.
Yeah, and maybe there's a place for that, but we lose that ability to be creative thinkers in the way that we process things. Yeah, and then we have a world full of problems. You know, come on, we've got a lot of creative potential here in our minds to sort stuff out if we're actually living in the present of ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not giving ourselves time to think. It would be remiss of me to do an episode and not get a Jerry Seinfeld mentioning. You know, there's an episode of Seinfeld when, for some reason, Seinfeld and his neighbour Kramer swap apartments. They live across the hall from each other. And Newman, who is Kramer's buddy, and he's like Seinfeld's arch enemy, comes into Jerry's apartment, which is now kind of Kramer's. And he just sits down on Jerry's sofa and he just goes, "Nice place you got here, Jerry. A man can really get some thinking done." And I like that line because, I like the idea of just sitting down and getting some good thinking done. But yeah. I don't have that much chance to do it, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Mm.
But that the idea of being able to take out time, we talked about zoning before, you know, the idea that you'd have a space in the day that was your space. And whether you were using that as a running space or a meditation space, walking space, whatever.
Yeah.
But maybe a time when everything is turned off all the TVs, the radios, the media, the telephone, everything is off, and for this period of time, whether it's a minute, 10 minutes, or
yeah,
an hour.
That's one of my New Year's things that I'm actually sticking to quite well, is the whole not checking email after a certain time of night, and basically from the point I come upstairs, which is usually at 9:30, something like that, no email checking. My phone stays downstairs as often as I can, but sometimes I need it as an alarm, so it does end up upstairs. But again, yeah, I haven't had much electronic reading after that time either, and I'm sleeping better.
Yeah,
I am sleeping like
yeah,
much
you
better.
Will. You will.
Do I look well?
Yeah, yeah, you do. You look really rested. 10 years younger.
Yeah. thank you. We've kind of touched upon politics and community and all that kind of thing, but do we lack like the relevant leaders in politics to kind of send? We've talked about Mandela earlier on. Do we lack a leader like that in our lives?
Does the leader need to be external or internal?
Well, yeah.
I think that we live in a very bland political system here. There's not a lot of difference between either side, and we shuffle them around different elections and get the same kind of outcomes.
Yeah.
Whatever we do. But to me, that's a part of that whole mindset that we're born into, that we accept, rather than being who we are.
Yeah, I think we kind of have the politicians we deserve at the moment, really. I don't... Yeah. People can point the finger really easily at them, but I don't really blame them, because there's a lot of career politicians there, you know, they're in it for...
Yeah.
I think, in fact, our local politician, Alison McGovern, she's pretty forward-thinking.
Right.
I don't know if she's in your area as well.
Don't know.
No.
Don't know. You can tell I clued up I am.
Yeah, she's in it for the right reasons, but at the same time, the overwhelming force of politics is like, they're just in there to get re-elected, and then they say things that they think we want to hear, for things like immigration... and being tough on benefit thieves and all that stuff. When all the evidence shows that immigration is like a net gain for the country, that we get more out of it than they give, really, than that, like the amount pinched by benefit thieves is tiny in comparison to what we spend on interest of our debts and like bailing out banks and all that.
Yeah.
But people just like to hear, oh, we're tough on immigration, we're tough on benefit thieves.
But if you look at politicians, they will always push around the soft targets, whether it's the health or the education or whatever, because it's easy to do. There's not a lot of fight back, but there's a lot of lines in it in terms of farmers. There's a lot of sound bites in it, which is kind of crazy. One of the problems with the idea of defining the benefit cheats, or as happened recently, the idea that all these people from Eastern Europe are going to suddenly flood into the country, is that we're creating an us and them situation.
Yeah.
Which diverts attention from things that perhaps we should be looking at.
Mm.
And I think it's easy for politicians to divert attention away from real issues to things that are a bit spurious for their own ends.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. When the Conservative Party were elected and Cameron was PM, there was this initial push about kind of the big society, wasn't there, and the happiness agenda.
Yeah.
And it's kind of faded away a little bit as reality, inverted commas, is set in of all the...
Yeah,
tough decisions that need to be made.
Yeah, I'm still in the happiness agenda, and I love the different websites that are around. There's loads of them around, and I was I needed to do something the other day. I was showing somebody something, and I typed into Google "live in the present" for the .co.uk, and the amount of sites out there that are called "live in the moment," "live in the magic," "live in the," and they're all there. They've all copied us.
They're all they're just following. Flailing.
But it's good. It's good that that concept of we have to be in our now is really important. The thing about politicians and politics is that most of it is a nonsense because of the soundbite issue. And the realities of education aren't the clever dicks that are in government. It's your wife, Bethan, on the front line actually teaching a child something.
Yeah, totally.
You know, and we make it into an issue that's different to that. It's like parenting isn't about laws and politics. It's about you working with Will.
Yeah.
It's that immediacy of stuff of being in the present with your child.
Mm-hmm.
How many parents are not in the present with their child, but they're expecting the teacher or the government or someone else to be in the present with their child rather than them?
Yeah, I know, or Bethan could tell you some stories about parents that she's had run-ins with over the years that have expected a certain thing, and you know, school will only give you so much, won't it? You know, I'm a big believer in, you know, teachers are amazing, but so much more of it comes from outside of school.
Yeah.
There's infinitely more things to be learned outside of school than in anyway.
Yeah.
That's not anyone's fault. It's not a teacher's fault.
It's life.
But people don't always grasp that, do they?
No.
And there can be a sense that once you're done in school, you're done learning.
Yeah.
That's the single most terrible thing someone can think.
I think as soon as you stop learning as a human being, you might as well pack up and buy yourself a shroud and a box and clear off. Because life is about perpetual development of the individual, right up to the point where you turn your toes up. Yeah, really, really very much. So, I mean, okay, from my point of view, I got it in.
You got it.
From my point of view.
Ding. I won't make you pay for these. You're like, you can say them as much as you want.
I feel that the things that stop us living in the present are twofold. One are our fears of stepping out of the box, but the other thing is this stuff that other people give us, whether it is religious leaders, politicians, pundits, whether it is the authorities of the moment, all of which start to tell us that we ought or we should be doing something, you know, that we need certain fashion items or we need to look certain ways or eat certain foods, rather than actually being ourselves and making our own lives our own research project, that we learn to be who we are. We become the expert on ourselves and we live in our present.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and by that, I don't mean to become selfish, self-obsessed, navel-gazers. What I mean is to actually learn to live with ourselves in the present within the context of the people that we're with, whether that is our family or our culture or community or church or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's relevant, but we have to be ourselves in it.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, got it in, that there is never anybody else who's ever going to be responsible for you or for me. I have to be responsible for me. No one else can ever make me think or feel in certain ways. If I learn about myself, I think for myself, I feel for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I'm living in my present. I'm not living in your present or in the politician's present. I'm living in my moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a good call to action, that, Sean.
Yeah. Let's all live in the moment.
Go and do it.
I'll start a new party, the Live in the Moment party.
Well, there are cool little political parties springing up here and there. They don't get that much mainstream press. There's one called the Pirate Party in Sweden, which I think I mentioned them a couple of weeks ago. And this tech guy who's trying to think of a new way of doing politics, and it's all linked in with copyright infringement, and he's heavily invested in Bitcoin. I don't know if
you
mentioned Bitcoin.
Yeah, you said about Bitcoin.
I'm reading more and more about Bitcoin, and I'm thinking that's the way to go, man.
I did go and look at them. And I saw when you said that you could buy a Bitcoin for $60 and they're now trading at, $600, $700, $800. I'm thinking, Edward, why didn't you buy one?
I know. Well, that's just the start from what I'm reading as well. Like $600 per Bitcoin. I think they're at 800 at the moment.
Yeah, 800.
Yeah, the potential, provided they don't get shut down like by the regulations and by governments, is astronomical. Not just for the value, but for the way that money is seen in the world.
It does question the basis of all financial systems.
Yeah, and I read an article this morning about it, actually by an investor in America who's tried to spell it out to people what Bitcoin is, because a lot of people don't get it, and I didn't really, and the media has thrown a lot of rubbish out there basically about it. But I'll put this article in the show notes because it's quite interesting. And then I would, you know, in my humble opinion, with no investing
experience...
You mean
from your point of view?
From my point of view, I would consider chucking a bit of dosh at it and trying to get involved in that.
Yeah.
Because that's a big opportunity for the world to shift into a more positive place.
Yeah.
Financially speaking.
Yeah. And maybe that removes the power from the big finance houses.
Well, it will.
Yeah.
It will, completely.
Which is why they will fight back and
try.
Which
is fascinating.
Yeah.
You got some self-help tips, Sean?
Self-help in terms of living in the present.
Yeah.
Has to be...
Not Bitcoin, self-help.
It's the mindfulness stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the two things that I would say is, one is be true to yourself. be true to who you are, to what you believe, what you feel. And if you don't know that, then take the time out to either therapy, meditation, self-discovery, whatever, actually find out who you are.
Get some thinking done.
Yeah. And a part of that, I would recommend the Marty Borison Meditation in a Moment.
Yeah. Cool little animation.
It's a wonderful animation, but it shows you how to pull yourself right into the present in just a split second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? It's powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, so that you don't wander to the past or the future. And if you find yourself wandering, you can pull yourself right back right now.
Cool.
Yeah, which is good, I think.
Marvellous.
Yeah. If we're looking at resources, I'm hanging on to our Live in the Present book. If you haven't read it, you should. It's a case of letting go of all the stuff that stops you living in your present.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it's
step about. Step-by-step process, hey?
Yeah.
It does take work, right?
It's yeah.
More, depending on where you're at in your life, it'll take could take years of work, but it's worth it.
Yeah. But life is for learning. We are machines that are built to learn, but we only learn when we are in the present. Yeah, either that or we're learning the negativity of the past or the anxiety of the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marvellous. Yeah, my resource of the week is a website, and a chap called Phil Keel, a guy I follow on Twitter, recommended this to me or to everyone he follows him on Twitter. It's called organisedwonder.com. It's just a resource where it's got links to documentaries and short films.
Well,
from all over the web, and you can just sit down, and I think it's categorised, and there's every day there's new films going on there, and if you're wanting to learn about interesting things, it's an amazing place.
Right, good.
Organisedwonder.com.
I will go there.
Nice one, Phil. And I think we're all done, Sean.
Yeah, I'm good.
We've got a special one coming next week, haven't we?
We do indeed. It's an exciting time for us.
We're getting Ree involved.
Yeah.
Ree is on the show. For those who don't know, Ree is Sean's wife. She's also...
Our business partner, a big part
of Live in the Present. But she's also a very clever lady, isn't she?
Yeah.
And she does some amazing work with...
She does, with people that are either suffering from or related to people suffering from cancer.
Yeah.
So she does some pretty good work, which we're going to look at, really, and we're going to look at the whole cancer issues and illness issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a pretty powerful episode, I think.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun having Ree involved.
Yeah, I'm very excited and privileged to have her coming in.
Indeed. So, no, I'm looking forward to that big time. In the meantime, visit our website, livingthepresent.co.uk. You'll be able to get the show notes from this episode, everything we've talked about, all the links, all in one handy little place. If you're not on the mailing list, put your email address in the box on the website, in the header, and we'll send you the show notes each week for this podcast, and you'll also get a load of freebies, free meditation files, a couple of ebooks, a couple of other bits that I've forgotten.
We need to put some new stuff in there too.
Yeah, we need to add to our toolkit. Hey,
we will do. Yeah,
but there's always stuff going in there. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you could share this show with a pal, if you like what we're talking about and you think that the world needs to know more about these kind of things, share our.
It does,
and it certainly does. Yeah, share the link on Twitter and Facebook, or email it to someone and just say, have a listen to this, see what you think.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to get in touch with us if you want to email us.
Yeah, and again, anybody that is in my inbox, you will get a reply pretty quickly.
That's a promise.
Yeah.
That is a promise. And I think we are all done. So from me to you, Sean, I will say goodbye.
And goodbye to you, Edward. Have a good time.
You too.
See ya.
See everyone. Bye-bye. Bye.